Monsignor Moran was serving as pastor here at St. Patrick's, he loved to preach about Jesus Christ, and he admitted to the parish that he just could not stop talking about Jesus from the pulpit. The parishioners here proposed something gentle to him at a parish council meeting, and he agreed. He was asked to preach with an egg timer. And when the timer went off, he would wrap up his homily, sometimes. And so today, in his honor, and because I could preach about Monsignor for hours, I have brought an egg timer with me. Father Badel, apologies if I just reminded the parish about this custom and they come to you this week wanting to bring the egg timer back. To set the scene, I do feel like it would be good just to mention some tangible things about Monsignor's priestly service that lasted 67 years and one day. There may be some who don't know him as well. Just a quick story to illustrate this. I grew up as a cradle Catholic in Indianapolis, and as a seminarian for 6 years, I got to meet most of the priests in the Archdiocese at cookouts or summer assignments. But it wasn't until I had already been a priest for 1 year that I had ever even heard of Monsignor Moran. In my first year, I realized I couldn't keep making the 3-hour drive to St. Meinrad for spiritual direction, and so I asked my boss, our vicar for clergy at the time, Father Giannini, if there was anyone closer that he might recommend. And he put me in touch with Monsignor Moran. I consider it, though, one of the great blessings of my life to have had the opportunity to get to know him over these past 9 years and to work alongside him as a brother priest. So first to his family, thank you for sharing him with this Terre Haute deanery. He was sort of the de facto pastor of the entire deanery. Even though you probably would have preferred to have him closer to all of you in Indianapolis, we understand and are appreciative of your sacrifice. Thank you for supporting him and allowing him to become part of this family of priests of the Archdiocese of Indianapolis for these 67 years. The church sees each diocese's group of priests as a type of family. And so following Mass today, we as his brothers will sing the Salve Regina as his casket is loaded into the hearse. It is a beautiful family tradition that we always do for our brothers. And so again, to all of you who were his first family, thank you for sharing him with us. So his priestly ministry, in a sentence, he lived the type of priesthood I think all of us as priests dreamed about when we first started thinking about the priesthood. Mother Anne, who is the superior at the Carmelite Monastery here in Terre Haute, said it best. She said, his priestly zeal was remarkable. You couldn't keep him from doing everything he could to evangelize, to work for vocations, the poor. She said that the ideas he came up with were one after the other. She said that some worked and some didn't. He was overflowing with inspiration, but he was always willing also very beautifully to turn over these ideas to the laity. And on so many things that he did and took on, he was 20 to 30 years ahead of the curve in emphasizing them. He was a pro-life warrior right from the start, as the issue and as life began to be disrespected in a particular way in our country, he ran straight into the fight to protect the unborn. But he wasn't just concerned for the unborn and for mothers and fathers. He also spent hours and hours keeping vigil for all of those who were put to death via the death penalty. He was 20 years ahead of the new evangelization. He was doing the new evangelization before Pope John Paul II even wrote that phrase. He had a TV show doing evangelization in Indianapolis and Terre Haute for 16 years. He threw everything he could into Catholic radio here in the Wabash Valley and hosted a weekly show himself, interviewing over 800 guests from around the world. The EWTN community knew him well, and many of the on-air personalities that you probably are familiar with joined his show over the years. And many of them recorded tributes to him just these past few weeks. He was 20 years ahead on perpetual adoration and the power that it can have on a parish and a local community. He started the second ever chapel here right across the parking lot 25 years ago. And since it was founded, our Lord has been adored in the Terre Haute Deanery for 216,720 hours as of 11 a.m. this morning. He was a priest of the confessional, and he preached about the sacrament, but then he backed it up by being a person that people sought out for confession, and his reputation as a confessor, like his hero John Vianney, was known far and wide. He loved Catholic schools. He would tell anyone that would listen 20 to 30 years ago, quote, "We need to do everything we can to save the family. We must save the family." St. Pat's School thrived under him, and one eyewitness said that the kids just absolutely adored him and would follow him all over the campus. And he passed out holy cards by the thousands. My point is this: he was a man who lived in the trenches and embodied the thousand directions you go as a diocesan priest. Everything for him was about Jesus Christ, not himself. And so we come to the gospel today. Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way, as he opened the scriptures for us? Whether on TV, the radio, at Mass, from this pulpit or the others, in the confessional, at school, or a million other places, people left his presence with their hearts set on fire for Jesus Christ. And that's all he ever wanted. There is also an important aspect to his priestly zeal that deserves mention. Although he lived in the breach between good and evil, although he was a general on the spiritual battlefield, although he fought and preached against and ministered in the face of the diabolical, he also was full of hope. In his first year as a priest, a mentor priest gave Monsignor Moran a piece of advice. It was three words: don't get angry. And it stuck. Mother Anne said that she only saw him get angry once in 20 years, and it wasn't even at a person. His smile is what so many people remember about him, his kindness, his warmth, even in the midst of the battles. Hope. He was a man of hope. And as we heard in our second reading, hope does not disappoint. Many of us, whether we are religious sisters or lay faithful or priests, we struggle to live both sides. We struggle to live both courageously, and we struggle to live with hope. We struggle really to live and embody both virtues simultaneously. Most of us tend to prefer one or the other. Some of us lack the courage to run into the cultural battle, to run into the breach and fight evil, and so we choose sometimes to sit on the sidelines out of fear and to be quiet. Sometimes we maybe just offer generalities about evil that don't really help anyone in the fight. If that's you, I invite you to ask Monsignor to pray for you, that you might act with his courage in the world. Others of you might have the zeal of Monsignor. He inspired that in so many people, but perhaps lack his hope. Perhaps you are beaten down by the evil in the world. So although you fight for Christ, you are tempted to lose hope. If that's you, remember his smile and his joy and ask him to pray for you. As the egg timer gets ready to go off, on the final homily here at St. Pat's that will ever be delivered in the presence of his body, we commend his spirit to the Father. We believe, of course, that Monsignor Moran can now pray for us and that we can continue to pray for him. At every funeral Monsignor did, he always mentioned 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. And so it seems appropriate to end with this and to say this to him now. You have fought the good fight. You have finished the race. You have kept the faith. Rest in peace.